Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. It's the Republican debate night. That's exciting. Why are you poo-pooing it, Chris? What is your problem? What? You're not into it?
Chris said it's the second debate. Nobody's going to watch it, and it's the least important debate. I disagree. I think it's the most important debate. It's the most important debate for Ron DeSantis. Really, honestly, and the debate's all about DeSantis. He's the only one that matters in the debate. Either DeSantis is going to make a big splash tonight and come out of there as the clear champion and alternative to Donald Trump, or this primary is already over. So this primary debate may be boring to Norm, Chris, but to us, I'd say this is the most interesting primary. This is the one. It's either going to be Trump or DeSantis. And after tonight, it might just be Trump. Don't you think that's interesting? I find that to be incredibly. Yes, we'll get to Trump's latest abortion comments. I understand you're mad. We'll get to that here in a little bit. I get all that. But that's tonight. It's exciting stuff. It's very fun stuff. All right. Back to the pain thing real quick before we get back to that and some other things. I'm struggling with how I deal with cities that are suffering from this misery of crime and homelessness because I don't want anyone to suffer. I don't want the people, even Democrats in those cities, I don't want anybody to suffer. I certainly don't want anyone to go through violent crime and things. But I know that the pain they're going through has to get worse for them to learn their lesson. So I don't know whether or not I'm supposed to cheer or what? Here's a good example. My oldest son, he goes barefoot all the time. Inside, outside, never wears shoes. Inside, outside. Let's say he goes out back, and I know we have this bad red ant problem out back. And I tell him, hey, wear some shoes, man. You're going to get bit by the ants. And he ignores me. He says, nah, Dad, you're an idiot. I'm a teenager. I know everything. And he goes out there with bare feet on, and he starts getting bit by the ants. Ow, Dad, it hurts. Ow. Well, I'm going to feel bad for him. I'm going to want him to say, Dad, this hurts. This was a mistake. I'm going to change my ways and go put my shoes on. But what if he doesn't? What if he runs out there and starts getting bit by red ants? He's complaining and he's crying, all these ants! Dad, the ants! And I keep saying, okay, well, you could put on some shoes, and he keeps saying, no, no shoes. And he just keeps getting bit by the ants. Well, how bad am I supposed to feel? At some point in time, it's not that I don't love him. I think I would want him to experience even more pain than he's currently experiencing. Not because I hate him, but because I love him, and I want him to learn his lesson. I think that's really where I come from, where I come down on all this stuff. Okay, let's get to something we were just talking about the debate, because tonight's a GOP debate and whatnot. Trump is currently, he's making a bunch of people mad on the right that are hardcore pro-life. He's not letting this thing go. And the reason this is coming up now is because it came up in that one interview. Remember, it came up in Trump's Meet the Press.
What's going to happen is you're going to come up with a number of weeks or months that's going to make people happy, because 92% of the Democrats don't want to see abortion after a certain period of time.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15?
Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a 5-week and 6-week ban.
Would you support that? You think that goes
too far? I think what he did is a terrible thing and a terrible mistake.
Okay, so let's have a discussion about this, because he said something else that I'm going to play for you in a minute. We have already talked about what happened there. It's a bit of a mealy-mouthed answer. It's a terrible answer. You can't defend it. It's an indefensible answer where he acts like we're going to come to some agreement, which we're never going to do, and then he dogs the 6-week abortion ban in Florida, which is terrible. I mean, it's terrible to dog on that. That's a wonderful thing. Okay, so it's a bad answer. He had a bad moment. Those bad moments come because he takes these interviews with people who hate his guts, like Meet the Press interviews. So he ends up giving that's a bad answer. All right. Well, there's an interesting thing happening right now on the right, and I'm not sure exactly where it's going to go or how it's going to turn out. I'm not sure it's going to turn out well. Donald Trump is the most popular Republican in America. 50%, roughly 50, 55% of Republicans in the country want Donald Trump to be the nominee for president. You're listening to the sound of my voice right now. The good chance is that Donald Trump is your preference. At least there's 50-50 chance that Donald Trump is your preference for president. Okay. So that's Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is not only, he's not that pro-life. It's not that. Donald Trump, there's a rift developing. A rift I've never seen before. A rift between the most popular Republican in America and a power base portion that he needs to win the presidency. And I'm not positive how this is going to turn out. Here's what I mean. I want you to think about Democrats. I want you to think about Joe Biden. And I want you to think about tomorrow, the head of Black Lives Matter. The head of Black Lives Matter comes out tomorrow and says, man, I'm not so sure about Joe Biden. I don't know. And then Joe Biden gets asked in a sit-down interview, hey, what do you think about Black Lives Matter? And he gives some mealy-mouthed answer. I'm not really sure about them. I mean, they've done some good, but some bad. I don't really know about them. And then he started catching all kinds of heat from Black Lives Matter. And then he decided these people were his enemy, and he was going to attack them for the rest of his presidential run. It's a weird scenario to even think about, right? But that is the scenario we're in. Trump gave the interview. He gave the answer. It didn't land well. He got attacked mercilessly from the right for that answer. He tried to defend himself for a couple days. And now I'm sensing there's a rift there. And this is not good. Here's Donald Trump in an interview. Listen to the end, where he basically accuses pro-lifers. Remember, he already accused them of costing us the midterms. He accuses them of basically just doing it for money.
I think something can happen. This is an issue that's been going on for 52 years. I was able to end it. That gave tremendous negotiating power to the pro-life movement. Tremendous negotiating power. Because they can't do the things that they used to be able to do. The pro-life was fighting it. We have these groups fighting this thing for so many.
See, this is a window into it. And if you love Trump, you're going to love this. If you hate Trump, you're going to hate this. But this is the reality of it. I'm going to play it again. I'm going to let him play the whole thing because I didn't get to the end. So I'm going to play the whole thing. But you heard what he just said there about, what did he say? What did he say he gave the right? Did he say a big win? Did he say a big win for life, for babies? No. Negotiating power. For Trump, this is all about a deal. Working out a business deal.
Decades, but it's exactly 52 years, right, as of a date in the not too distant future. And that's a long time. Everybody's raising money all the time. Everybody, I don't know, maybe it's some kind of a business. I don't know what's going on, but
it's a lot of money.
Everybody was amazed that I was able to do it. And I put them in a great negotiating position.
Hey, they were all happy and now they're mad. I don't know if it's a business. I don't know what, raising money. I don't want to accuse. Okay, so what you're seeing now is Donald Trump is annoyed. Donald Trump is aggravated. And as a result, his most hardcore supporters will follow that aggravation. Anytime you have a major political figure, he will have a portion of his followers that will do and say whatever he does and says. They'll follow along with him. That's just kind of the nature of politics. It's not unique to America. Donald Trump officially is aggravated that he's having to defend himself from the right, from his right flank. He's obviously aggravated by this and wants it to stop. But here's the problem. People of the pro-life persuasion, and I know because I am one. I've marched in March of Dimes. This is not something I came to lately. Long before I was ever involved in any of this, I have been hardcore pro-life. People in the pro-life movement, they do not generally approach it politically, meaning they don't approach it as exclusively a Republican thing, Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal. And they don't oftentimes approach it even religiously. That is a God-breathed life. They approach it from a baby's perspective. That is a baby. That baby is alive. That baby, therefore, must be protected. And that movement, the pro-life movement, whether you agree with them or not, I do, but that's not important for the purpose of our argument. Whether you agree with them or not, they're not going to waver. They're not going to step off of their position because Trump wants the issue to die. That's not how they operate. These are hardcore people who believe in it all the way, and I happen to believe with them all the way. They're not going to lay the issue down, and they're not interested in a negotiating position. Not at all. All right, let's move on to some other things before we get to those other things. This issue, no matter where you fall on it, will not be decided by politics and legislation. This issue will be decided by education, meaning we will change the minds and hearts of people on this or we will lose. Thankfully, we are changing those hearts and minds thanks to Preborn. Preborn, they're out there giving out free ultrasounds. That's the education I'm talking about. Not a classroom, not a textbook. Educating a young woman, educating somebody that it is not a clump of cells. It is not a negotiating position. It is alive. It is a God-breathed life who has every right to walk this planet. That's what you support when you support Preborn. $28 buys them that ultrasound. Go do it. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give that $28. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Moving on to emails. Just want to leave you with this when it comes to that issue. Again, when it comes to abortion, you should be the aggressor, not the one on defense. You shouldn't be the one scared of it. Oh, let's move on. I'm too scared. What if it costs us? What if it costs us elections? I'm so scared,
guys. Can a Republican candidate who supports or signs into laws, Governor DeSantis did, a six-week limit to abortion.
In the dead of night, by the way. Signing a six-week ban that puts women who are victims of rape and girls who are victims of incest in a hard spot isn't the way to change hearts and minds.
Well, of course. No. You should be on the offense with this issue, not like Nancy Mace. You know why? Dome gives you the best answer why. Right here. Here she's asked about it in Poland. Here's 40 of the most painful seconds in your life. And keep in mind, this is not a hostile interview. As you will hear in this interview, the person doing the interviewing can see her drowning trying to answer the question and tries to be a parachute for her, trying to lower Dome to the ground. Even then she can't because her views are horrific.
What week of pregnancy should abortion access be cut off?
We need to restore the protections of Roe versus Wade. Not trying to do something new.
Well, that was nebulous because it was about viability, which could be anywhere between 20 to 24 weeks. Women's Health Protection Act that the White House also endorsed.
Let me be very clear. From day one, the president has been clear. I have been clear. We need to put back the protections that are in Roe v. Wade into law. Since the Supreme Court took it, Congress has the power and ability to pass legislation to put those protections back in law, and Joe Biden will sign that bill.
But does it need to be specific in terms of defining and where that guarantee goes up to and where it does not? At which week of pregnancy?
We need to put back in place the protections of Roe versus Wade.
You
we
know
are
why
not,
I'm asking you this question, though. Because
we're not trying to, we're not trying to do anything that did not exist before June of last year.
It wasn't crafted into law. And that's why I'm asking you for the specifics, because Republicans say the lack of a precise date in cutting it off. You know this. They say that allows Democrats to perform abortions up until, you know, birth.
Which is ridiculous.
Statistically not accurate.
And it's ridiculous. And it's a mischaracterization of the point. No, the point is...
But do you need to be more precise?
I am being
precise. Oh, yes. She's trying to set her down. It's a ridiculous mischaracterization of the point. Nobody supports aborting a baby on the third trimester.
Do you support any restrictions on abortion?
I don't. I've always believed...
Even in the third trimester?
Do you think there should be any limitation on abortions?
No, I do not.
Do you support any limitation on abortion, or does it? Do you think that women should have the right to have an abortion all the way up to 9 months?
That should be a choice made between a doctor and a woman.
Yeah, you got it. I prefer people who are going to fight for this issue. I will be fighting for this issue until the day they take the microphone away from me. Because it's a baby. If you're not ready to fight against baby murdering demons, maybe you just have a testosterone shortage. Perhaps, allow me to make a suggestion, just a brief suggestion. If you find yourself saying things like, well, I don't want to talk about that. I would like to just only focus on the border. They're just babies. Perhaps a male vitality stack from Chalk is what you need. Because clearly you lack the testosterone necessary to defend unborn life. I want you to have that testosterone because I need you in that fight with me. So, fellas, I need you on a male vitality stack from Chalk. Ladies, a female vitality stack for you. Because we're not going to negotiate and give up, and we're not going to compromise, and we're not... No. We're going to fight to the bitter end. Why? Because the babies cannot fight for themselves. So we're going to go to Chalk.com, Chok.com, and we're going to use the promo code Jesse. And what that's going to do is it's going to give you 35% off the lifetime of any subscription you get. Chalk.com, Chok.com, promo code Jesse. We don't sacrifice on life. All right. Now, you want to talk to me? I'm game for that. We got a Republican debate tonight. We got all these issues. We got a draft coming. I'm going to talk about the draft here in a minute, but we can chat. 877-377-4373. But I need to clarify because we haven't done this in a while. I just want to make sure I lay everything out. One, there's no small talk. None. Don't ask me how I am or tell me you love the show. I'll just hang up the phone. Two, get right to the point. Directly to the point. That's it. I'll say your name and location and you just, boom, get right to the point. Three, this is not an opportunity to give a 5-minute speech on something. So if you can't get to the point quickly, don't bother. All right? 877-377-4373. And as always, I have decided I'm maintaining a one strike and you're out policy. One critically disastrous phone call that bores me or anyone else. And we'll just simply cut them off for the entire show. So that's how we're doing it. 877-377-4373. Now, let's get to this. Jesse, 3 years ago, I was essentially broke at 58. I heard you talk about selling RVs, and I got a sales gig. I made a boatload of money and left Washington for Florida to be in a red state. My wife and I are now in a stunning small town and have our charter operation that visits places only accessible by boat. For others who are down, there is always a way if you stay focused. Attached are a few pictures. I'll ignore the fact he says, P.S. the JK Burger needs a tomato And he didn't say I could say his name, but he lives in Florida. Remember, doesn't matter how old you are, men, women, tomorrow might be the day you turn everything around, all right? Keep your chin up. And fellas, especially you right now, down and out, maybe you're not making the money you want, maybe a little sales gig. All right, let's talk about the draft and your calls and travel. Hang on.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And look, I'm going to play something for you here in just a second. And I'll get to your calls here in a minute, but I'm going to play something for you here in a second. And I almost don't even want to play it because it hits me so hard. I have to address something first, though. One, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Two, Chris, what a weird question. Right as we were coming back, I swear on my life, right as we're coming back from the break, Chris asked me if I believe the earth is flat. What kind of an idiotic question is that? There isn't anybody who still thinks that. That's one of those things. No, that's one of those things, just like Bigfoot and aliens, that people claim for attention. That's exactly what that is. People get bored and people want some spice and excitement in their life. So what do they do? What do they do? Oh man, I was drinking on the way home. What a shock. They're always drinking. I was drinking on the way home and then I got attacked and sodomized by aliens from Venus. Nobody believes that. No, but that's why people say it. And those are the same people who say the earth is flat. No, actually, I'm convinced. I did some research. Really? Have you ever been in a plane? Have you ever been in a plane and looked at the curvature of the earth? You can see it. It's plain as day. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. All right, now I'm going to play something. It's going to hurt you, and it's going to hurt me, but this is what a government official sounds like when he's in a country full of people who love the country, and he's been elected by those people, and he feels an obligation to his people, and he feels an obligation to his country. I'm talking about Poland. And this isn't even about immigration or refugees or Poland. But I look at our own country and I look at our own representatives. And I look at how much they hate us and how much they hate this frigging place. And when you dare to complain, when you bother to complain about, well, I don't know, millions of illegals stuffed in your schools and hospitals. Our representatives, beyond a shadow, without a second of hesitation, they'll get up and tell you, what, Ellis Island was worse.
Of when it comes to people coming to New York City today are nothing. I'm telling you, nothing compared to the daily amounts of people that we saw coming in from through Ellis Island.
Yeah. Now I'm going to play for you. This is what a politician sounds like. I don't think he's any better than you or me. But what he is a man who represents a nation of people who care about their country and they're interested in its preservation. And he's interested in its preservation. And he sees himself as a warrior for that country. He doesn't see himself as a robber who gets to loot the country now that he's in office. He sees himself as the knight at the head of the army.
How many refugees has Poland taken?
Zero.
You sound proud of the fact that you haven't taken any refugees.
Of course, because this is what our people are expecting from our government. That's number one. This is why our government was elected. But this is why Poland is so safe. This is the reason why we had not even one terrorist attack. Look at the streets in Poland. And we can be called populists, nationalists, racists. I don't care. I care about my family and about my country.
What would you give to have even one American politician of any party speak that way? Now, how many did you take in? Zero. What, you sound proud of it? He says, yeah, of course. Yeah, I am proud of it. Guess what? You know what else I'm proud of? My kids walk down the street unmolested, completely safe. The women of Sweden are raped all the time. Eightfold increase in rapes. The women of Poland, safe as at home in bed. And when pressed on it by some apparatchik journalist, he laughs in her stupid commie face and says, yeah, actually, I'm thrilled. Zero's the number. We haven't even taken in one and don't intend to do so. There's a longer version of the interview. I didn't want to play it for you, but there's a longer version of it where he actually even tells her, oh, wow, we took in some refugees from Ukraine. We're fine. It's not taking in anyone else. They're not changing things around here. That's what it sounds like when your country has a politician who loves the place. All right, I'm getting to you. Now, get right to the point, all right? Right to the point. 877-377-4373. Let's deal with the important issues first. All right, Uncle in Denver, go.
Hey, so a few nights ago, you were talking about some off-brand Oreos, and I was listening intently to see what the name brand was because I, too, love Oreos. And I got a confession. I forgot that they went woke, and I bought some a couple weeks ago. And then I heard you talking about the off-brand Oreos. I'm like, tell me the name of the Oreos, Jeff.
Yeah.
And you never told me the name.
So all right, I'll tell you the name now. Don't feel bad about buying Oreos. We bought some in the Kelly household about 3 weeks ago. I told you this. I think I said this on the air on accident. The wife bought them for the kids had to bring cookies for school. She bought the Oreos because she didn't know. She'd just forgotten about the whole thing. And I came home and my youngest son had gotten to it before I did. He said, what are those on the counter? And I came home and I said, what is this filth on the counter? And of course we didn't waste them after we bought them. No, the replacement, I have been scolded by my sons about this. This is not the off-brand Oreo. My sons have lectured me ever since I've discovered this. This is, according to my sons, if this is wrong, I am passing the blame as any father would on to his offspring. They have told me that these are the originals. They're Hydrox. Hydrox. And in case you're wondering, wow, that doesn't sound like the name of a cookie. That sounds like something you'd clean a urinal cake with. Well, that's why Hydrox didn't take off and Oreo ripped off their idea and named it Oreo and took off. So that's why you've never heard of Hydrox, because whoever started it came up with apparently a world-class cookie and named it terribly. Who in the world thought Hydrox was a good idea? It sounds like it's going to melt my stomach and my tongue or something like that. Created 115 years ago? Chris, it was created by Jews, wasn't it? Why did I think that? Well, I don't know. Why are you raising your hands? Don't you people have some secret way to communicate? I think it was the Jews or something. I think it was, Chris. Anyway, look into that. Maybe Hydrox is Jewish or something. Jeff in Wisconsin, go.
I think you got to change the vernacular on abortion and call it child sacrifice.
I have no problem with that. No problem with that at all. Exactly what it is. I tell you one of the more, I'll get to these others in a second. I think I already told you this on the air, but one of the more disheartening conversations I have had was with Abby Johnson. Abby Johnson, she's the former head of Planned Parenthood, so she was all in on abortion. And then she woke up one day and realized how horrible it was. And now she's this pro-life advocate, wonderful woman. And I was talking to her and she has this tip line where you can call in and whatever. But lots of the people who call in are girls going after abortions. And she told me, Jesse, you don't even want to know what they tell me. Because you think, and I think, we like to think in our minds, oh, everyone's just desperate and scared. She said, most of these girls, they tell me things like, well, I want to look good and drink on spring break. So that's why I want to get rid of it. Oh, it's friggin' horrible, man. What we've done, unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Mike, Denver, go.
All right. So I've got an anti-abortion argument that I'd like to perfect. Go ahead and rip it apart. So the baby's completely born. It's in your arms. Look at its face. Give it the tip of your pinky finger to let it wrap its little fingers around. Is that a baby? Okay, now take it a step back. It's born, but the cord hasn't been cut yet. Is that a baby? At what point can you kill it? All right, it's almost born. Its feet have not yet exited. Is that a baby? Now it's up to its hips. It's up to its crown. It's just barely crowned. Is that a baby? Can you kill it right now? It hasn't crowned yet. What's the difference? At what point is it not that baby looking you in the face?
It's a very good call. It's a very good point. 877-377-4373. It's a very good point. At what point? I mean, you're telling me at some point it stops being alive. What point is that? And we're up against the break, so I had to let him go. But at what point is it? It's a very good call. It's a very good point. Remember, the truth is on our side, not their side. It's on our side. These people have been asked repeatedly, name your limits, and none of them will. The facts are on our side. The ultrasounds don't lie. Keep pushing. We're going to get back to more of these. That was good. Good work. 877-377-4373. We're going to go over some travel rules and then talk about this some more. Next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. And I'm reminding you now that you can download a podcast of the show. There's this podcast. You see, the show, they put it in electronic format. I'm not sure what, Chris, that is what you do. And then Chris, Jewish producer Chris and Michael, they upload it into some super duper podcast center, I assume. And there you can go tap into it. It's like a garden hose. Attach it to your house. You just attach it to your house. Unlimited water. Only in this case, it's something so much more important than water. It's the Jesse Kelly Show. And you can listen to it every single day on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. That is if you don't die in World War III. Because apparently we're all going to. I'll get back to the phone calls here in a second. See, the U.S. Army War College, they did some big study on the Russia-Ukraine thing and the lessons learned. And let me pause real quick on before I get to lessons learned, and I'll get back to the calls. Lessons learned. One thing militaries have learned over time is that they have to keep learning over time. Meaning, there's an old saying where you always, at the beginning of a war, you will take on way more casualties than you should because you're fighting the last war. Technology has changed, things have changed, and you're still acting like it hasn't changed. The best example of this is World War I, a bunch of poor souls on horseback with swords in their hand, charging a machine gun nest. All of you were just mowed down, and it's over, and okay, I'm glad you were brave, but now you're dead. Don't do that again. Okay, that's bad. So they're always trying to figure out what the next combat is going to look like. What's the next conflict? Where is the next conflict? What's it going to look like? Something I have found out about through talking to all my military friends and the guys who are still in and spooks and those types about the Russia-Ukraine thing. One thing that has hit home is how artillery focused it is. Almost back to World War I, because World War I was very, very artillery focused. Only these days, and this is going to nerd out on details. Trust me, I'll come back to something that, just hang with me a minute. These days, countering artillery, I was going to start going into all these stupid military terms. Countering artillery, meaning shooting back at the artillery that's shooting at you. Today, it's light years better than it even was before, and it was starting to get pretty effective years ago. Today, it's way better. And today, because of all this drone technology and other things, they're now able to find
command centers and gigantic clusters of troops where before that was more difficult. Now that battle is more aerial. Allow me to explain so I don't freaking make everybody bored to tears and I don't make all your eyes glass over. If it's the Civil War, well, there's no aerial technology, right? It's the Civil War. And let's say I'm in possession of a big artillery piece, one that would be way more advanced for the Civil War. I've got a 155. I've got a big old artillery piece beside me. And I've got these shells. Well, where do I shoot them? They're big, high explosive shells. Assuming you're shooting HE rounds, where do I shoot them? I would want to shoot them where there are high clusters of troops. I don't want to shoot where there's one guy. He's out smoking a cigarette by the tree, taking a pee. I want to shoot where there's 50 guys so I can kill 50 guys with my one artillery shell, not one. Does that make sense? Only in the Civil War, I don't have the ability to find large clusters of men. Now, they didn't have the artillery rounds to get that far anyway, but you see what I mean. Now, fast forward to something like World War One. They're fighting each other. They're in the trenches, and they made this discovery. Planes had just kind of started coming around, and they started figuring out we should be able to use planes and blimps and things like this for combat. So they started going overhead and figuring out the enemy's moving here. They're amassing here. So fire got way more effective. But think about it these days. I could leave right now. I could leave in the middle of the show and I could run down to Best Buy and I guarantee I could buy a drone off the shelf in Best Buy that would allow me to see a mile, 2 miles away with incredible accuracy. And I know exactly what is there. I know how many people. That was a long way of me saying in modern combat, artillery is just as big and deadly as it always was, only now it's even more accurate because they have a more accurate assessment of where they're shooting. Combat is very, very deadly today. I'm going to read for you from this little study on combat and what it means for us. Why does this matter to you? You know how we've been talking about the draft and we're going to run out of troops really quickly and they're going to start drafting people when World War III kicks off? Listen to this. And I'll get back to the calls and a couple other things. Listen to this. The Russia-Ukraine war is exposing significant vulnerabilities in the Army's strategic personnel depth and ability to withstand and replace casualties. Army theater medical planners may anticipate a sustained rate of roughly 3,600 casualties per day, ranging from those killed in action to those wounded in action or suffering from disease or other non-battle injuries. And there's a couple sentences of detail you're just going to have to get through here, but I figured the detail nerds might love it. With a 25% predicted replacement rate, the personnel system will require 800 new personnel each day. For context, this is the important part, the United States sustained about 50,000 casualties in two decades of fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. In large-scale combat operations, the United States could experience that same number of casualties in 2 weeks. Now, I want to rewind to something I've said over and over and over again when I point out all the woke filth in our military and all this crap, and I say, this is something I've said so many times now, everyone knows it, we're going to lose a major war. Whenever I say that we're going to lose a major war, I will get someone who will come to me and say, we already lost Afghanistan. No, no, no. I'm talking a major war. I'm talking a big boy war where you wake up tomorrow morning and you're reading the names of 5,000 more troops who are gone. Now, do you think this military stuff is a little bit more serious than you have? Pretty eye-opening, right? Vietnam casualty numbers in 2 weeks. Dang. All right. I had to get that off my chest. I'll get to these calls in just a second. 877-377-4373. Now let's get to things that you and I can do to prepare for such a future. Well, there's nothing you can do to protect your currency, to prevent World War III, or to secure your border. Other than getting involved politically, there's nothing you can do about that. What you can do is take care of yourself now more than ever. Your health and your tangible skills. How are your shooting skills? Shooting skills are something you should be working on, I should be working on, until the day I die. until the day I die, I should be getting faster and deadlier and faster and deadlier. And I'm allowed to do this now with Mantis X every day because Mantis X attaches to my weapon and I don't have to leave my home to practice. As soon as you've taken away any inconvenience and the cost, I practice every day now. The Green Berets use Mantis X. The Marines in Marine Corps Boot Camp, they're using Mantis X. You want to use what the professionals use? They use Mantis X. Go to MantisX.com. You might even find yourself having fun, competing with friends and family members. MantisX.com. Go get it.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.